Father, we come before you. We take authority over everything that the enemy wants to do to hurt us, everything the enemy wants to do to distract us, everything the enemy wants to do so we won't hear what you have. And we take authority over that right now in the name of Jesus, and we bind up everything that's not of your spirit, Lord God. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to open our eyes, open our ears. Let us hear, God. Lord, let healing come. Let deliverance come. Let eyes open. Father God, let there be breakthrough in every single person's life here. We ask it in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. And God, we know that you are greater. Holy Spirit, we know that you love us. Holy Spirit, we know that you're in this place. And your word promises that all things work together for good to those who love you and called to your purpose. So Lord, I'm believing tonight in this house, things are going to work together for good. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, we need the word so desperately, and we need everything that doesn't line up with it to just go away in Jesus' name. Second Peter 1. And we were kind of talking about lust, but when I looked at this in the King James, and I'm actually going to go to the King James for part of this, it actually talked about even barrenness. And so I know there's a few couples in the place who really believe in God for a breakthrough in the area of having a child and producing a child. There's other people who wonder why that never happened for them, and maybe God's going to give them understanding so we can believe. But barrenness can be in any kind of area. It's any area where you're believing for something that God's promised you and it hasn't come forth. Amen? So, 2 Peter 1, Simon Peter, a slave, an apostle. I love this. He recognizes that he's a slave first and then an apostle. Amen? Of Jesus Christ, to those equally precious with us, having obtained faith in the righteousness of our God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied by the full knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Your peace and grace. Grace is God's empowerment to bring forth what he's promised you. Amen. Grace is God's provision, God's presence, God's empowerment. Grace is the very thing that God pours out, and it's always sufficient to bring you where you need to be. Amen? We all need grace. You need grace in this room tonight. You need grace to have a breakthrough. You need grace to get free. The enemy wants you bitter. He wants you upset. He wants you not trusting him. The devil wants to do everything he can to stop the flow of grace. Amen? God wants to release grace tonight. And you get to get hungry for grace. There's been times in my life when I just cry out, God, give me grace. I know we say help, but the more biblical thing would be, God, grace, I need your grace. I need your grace. I need your presence. I need your word. I need your will. I need your empowerment. Holy Spirit, I need grace. Amen? So it's grace to us and peace. And it comes and it's multiplied in our life. That means when God pours this out, it's beyond what you normally would have. It's beyond just addition, okay? And he says, by the full knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That word knowledge means to know him. That word knowledge means to touch him. That word knowledge means to understand him. That word knowledge means it. The more I know God, who he really is, not who people have preached him to be who didn't know him, not what books say about him, but who he is revealed in his word by his spirit. The more I know this God, the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and understand that, and the more I encounter him by my spirit, not just my intellect, then I'm going to come to a place of great peace. Amen. And I'm going to understand grace. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Once again, through the full knowledge of the one calling us through glory and virtue. Okay? I want you to see this. His divine power is what we need. If you need a breakthrough, if you need freedom, if you need a healing, if you need a promise, if you need deliverance, you need his divine power. You don't need a self-help thing. Amen. You really don't need another prayer line unless his divine power is released. Amen. If you've been wounded and hurt, can I say, is there anybody in the room who has not been wounded and hurt? Ever in your, anybody? Say, how many think maybe they have probably the most wounds and hurt places? Amen. So God wants to heal these things, and it's his divine power. His divine power has given. We already have it. Amen? His divine power has given to us everything we need to have life and godliness. Okay? I'm going to look up the word godliness. Let me go back. We're going to look through some of these words. If you guys can get this, you sort, it's awesome. You can put the King James version in there that takes you to the scriptures. To them be attained, like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. According to his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness means holiness. What is holiness? The absence of evil. God's divine power is going to be the thing to destroy evil in your life so that you can live godly. You can live free from addiction. You can live free from witchcraft. You can live free from pornography. You can live free from lust. You can live free from overeating. You can live free from cursing. You can live free from hurt. You can live free from everything. Amen? Because God's divine power is going to make you holy. When I become holy, it's because I agree with God against something the enemy has placed in me. And when I agree with God, not against what he's placed in you, but with what he's placed in me. When I agree with God against what the enemy has placed in me, I become holy. I don't become holy by seeing what the enemy's placed in you. That's not hard. Most people think they know that one. Amen? If I want to be holy, then I've got to open my heart for his divine power to come in and reveal what has to go out so that I can become holy. Amen? And then I'll have grace and peace multiplied to me. According to his divine power, he's given me everything I need to have life and godliness or holiness. And it comes through the knowledge. That's the relationship with him, the walking with him. That word knowledge actually has the word touching. God actually touching my spirit. God actually being part of my life. God actually being one with me. It's through that knowledge of him. It's that revelation of him. It's not through another person. Amen? But I got to know who he is. I've got to walk with who he is. I have to understand the word. I've got to get the pain and the hurts out so that I can get to a place to know who God is. Amen? And so he sent his divine power to make me holy. He sent his divine power to make you holy. And you need to really stop and see. When you react to things, you need to recognize, why am I reacting like this? Amen? And we need to drop on our face before the Lord and say, what is this in me that needs to come out? God wants us holy. Okay? Same thing when the enemy's trying to tempt you to look at pornography, or he's trying to tempt you to curse, or anything he's out there trying to get you to do. You've got to get to this place. Lord, I need your touch. I need an encounter with you. I need to know you, God. God, I need to get this evil out of me. God, I want you to get this evil out of me by your divine power. You need to recognize there's an evil in me drawing me to curse, drawing me to drink, drawing me to fornication, drawing me to pornography, drawing me to gossip, drawing me to attacking others, drawing me to this and drawing me to that and drawing me to this and that. I've got to stop and recognize, wait a minute, there's a God by his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died because of this sin, who set me free from this sin, and his divine power is available to me to make me holy. To get these wrong desires out, to destroy this lust, to destroy this wrong thinking, to destroy this hurt place, to destroy this evil thing that's trying to be in charge of my actions. Amen? And it's going to come as I grow in my knowing him, touching him, reading of him. And he has called us to glory and virtue. Let's see what glory is. I'm reading out of the King James so I can look up the Greek words. It says here, he's called us to walk in praise and worship and honoring him. To me, when we see glory, it's inside of my heart, I just want to worship God. Inside of my heart, I just want to belong to him. Inside of my heart, I don't care what other people think in the sense of, you know, Lord, they might be upset. They might be, this might happen, that might happen. Lord, but I want to glorify you. God, all that I want is to honor you. All that I want is to praise you. All that I want is to lift you up. And anything that's trying to stop me from living in a place of glorifying you, God, I want it out. anything that can provoke me, anything that causes the wrong actions, anything that takes over my thoughts, anything that tempts me, anything that leaves me away from you, anything that does not deal with evil, I want it out. And you've given me your divine power to do that. And now I come in full knowledge of you. I understand. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Anything that tries to keep me alive in the flesh and keep me living for the flesh and keep me responding in the flesh, that thing has to go in Jesus' name. Anything that doesn't cause me to live holy or godly is an evil that has to come out. There's no excuses. There's no blame. There's no looking at what I looked at in the past. None of it. None of that matters because God himself has taken all of that to the grave. He has set me free from it. He has set me free from my past. He has set me free from whatever hits me today. He has already died. He has already set me free from it. And it has no authority to attack me, touch me, or hurt me again in Jesus' name. And the evil is not coming in, and what's ever come in is coming out in Jesus' name. I'm going to live holy. I'm going to recognize when the enemy is still got something inside of me. I'm going to quit pretending something isn't there when it's there. Do you know you're not even tempted anymore when it's been dealt with? And until it's dealt with, be honest about it. Be honest with people about it. Look at everything you use and have used to try to hide and keep the evil. When I try to cover up the evil that's in me, it gets to stay. And God loves us too much to let it stay. And the fire's going to come. You know, there's a scripture Jesus says, you can either fall on the stone, which is him. You can fall on the rock and be truly broken. There's no brokenness until you see how you've hurt other people. There's none. Can I say, when you get broken and only Holy Spirit can break you, you're forgiven. When you repent, you're forgiving. If somebody else doesn't forgive you, that is them living in unforgiveness, which causes them not to have grace, which causes them to go into torment. And all you can do is pray that they get free. But when you've been forgiven by God and you recognize what the blood has cleansed you from, you no longer play in your past. Amen? You no longer let anybody else put your past down as your now. Amen? Your past may still be hurting them. Their past may be trying to hurt you. But that's because you've got to take it to the cross. You've got to take it to a place of forgiveness. You've got to take it to a place where the enemy loses his power to torment. To take your peace. Amen? So you can't go back and blame your mom that was mean to you and that's why you want to look at pornography. Then say you can do that. We can take this stuff down a million different trails, but the truth is, in the power of his word, we can come to believe and recognize and deal with what's in our hearts and be honest about it and get away from every place that hides it and everything that hides it and put it out in the open before our God, and his divine power will come and destroy it in Jesus' name. Amen? Too many people, honestly, even use inner healing and deliverance to hang on to stuff. Well, I'm going to wait till we get to that altar call. How about you not wait till you get to that altar call? How about you get to God and recognize this is wrong? This is evil. This isn't godliness. This isn't holiness. This needs to be taken care of. God, show me me. Can I tell you something? Even when you've been hurt in your past, he's not going to show you how bad that person was. If you think God is showing you how bad somebody else was, I'm telling you, you're listening to the wrong God. God will show you you. He will show you how you responded incorrectly. He will show you how you didn't know how to be protected by him. He will show you how the enemy got into you. He will show you you. We've been talking about this Ahab thing, this victim Ahab thing. Always wants something to show you poor you and bad them. That's not God. God sees people saved. God sees people healed. God sees people delivered. God sees people the way he created them. That's why he says you have to forgive to be forgiven. You have to let go of those pictures before God can have the relationship with you that you want that will bring you to healing. So don't grab on to inner healing and deliverance as an excuse to not forgive. Don't let the enemy torment you with your past. That's not what this is about. This is about recognizing who God was in it and where God was in it and how God had a different opinion and how God could change it. And then you go to God and you let God make it the way it should be. You let God show you how you should have responded. You let God show you how he would have protected you. You let God show you how he wouldn't have let hate in. You let God show you what God is and who he is in it. Do you understand? And then you will walk in this godliness. And you will walk in the glory of God. You will walk in the presence of God. And you're going to add to that. He's called you to glory. How many want to be called to glory? How many is over being called to evil? How many is over being called to your past? How many is over being called to your mistakes? How many is over being called to what the devil wants to do? And to your past perversions, and to your passes, and to even your yesterday's perversion. How many are ready to be called to his glory? I want to be called into his presence. I want to be called into who he is. I want to be called into what he's doing and how he's doing it and what he has for me. I want to walk in that, and I will release everything to him. Amen? And then he says, he's called us virtue. One of the words for virtue. And I think this is a really good word for those who are fighting the lust of pornography. And it's manliness. The word actually means a strength, a courage. The enemy wants to take that from you. And when we say manliness, we need to look at God's definition of manliness. Not perversion. Not lustful. If I still see, for the men who struggle with pornography or struggle with lust, when you still see, or maybe were hurt and wounded, and you don't even know what being a man's supposed to be. Look at Jesus. He's the Son of Man. He was the perfect example of a man. He was God in flesh, but he was an example of man, the second Adam, the Bible calls him, without the influence of evil. He knew when to be tough. He knew when to be gentle. He knew how to talk to children. He knew how to talk to be proper when there was a woman who had tons of sexual perversion. He didn't even deal with that. He saw her the way God saw her, and he got her saved. He never lusted after a woman. He never saw things in the perverted way. Amen? If you had a horrible, horrible father image, quit blaming it. Because you've been adopted into a family with a perfect father. Amen. Amen? You need to stop. Every one of us needs to stop and say, how would Jesus handle this? And I'm not talking about a little band. I mean, seriously look in the Word and see what he did and then ask Holy Spirit, why can't you be like your father? Make me like my real father. Heal me from everything that stops me from being like you, God. Amen? No more excuse, my daddy didn't do this, my mom took it. Get rid of it, amen? Get rid of it. Why did you do what you did and bring that to the cross? That's all you can bring to the cross. Why did I respond like this? Forgive me, God, for responding like this. What did my response lead to? How did my response hurt people? Let me fall on the rock and be broken. Let me be broken how the way I responded has hurt people. I've hurt my children. I've hurt my spouse. I've hurt people in church. I've hurt employees. How I've hurt people. Let me be broken. Let me see how I have hurt people. And don't think, whenever the enemy's operating in your life, you have hurt people, no matter how much you don't want to think you've hurt people. Amen? That's what brokenness is. He wants us to be broken. The enemy wants us to be hard. He wants us to be stubborn. He wants us to be stiff-necked. He wants us to not be broken so that we get pulverized. Jesus, the Word of God says, if you do not fall on that rock and get broken, then that rock is going to pulverize you. How many are ready not to be pulverized? How many think a gentle falling on the rock is going to be a lot better than having the rock roll over you until you scream out to God, show me where I missed it. Help me, God. Amen? See, God, it's going to come one way or the other. Either you're going to fall on God and see yourself and have the grace and the mercy for God to change you, to set you free, or that thing, that evil thing that was placed in you, that hurt thing that was placed in you, it's like this gigantic rock has been trying to pulverize you. It's coming at you, trying to pulverize you. And God's like, fall on me. Jesus is like, come on, fall on me, fall on me, fall on me, fall on me. Don't let that get you. Deal with it. My spirit, I love you. I want you to be broken. I want you to reckon. Why brokenness? Because brokenness brings true repentance. Brokenness changes the way you think about it. Brokenness brings humility, complete dependence on God, completely wanting to see things the way God sees things. Amen. Completely recognizing it gets rid of everything else the enemy has placed there to make you stiff-necked and hard. Amen. You know, you could have read this, preached this, seen this. We've done all these before. It doesn't mean God's not taking us deeper. Amen. Have ears to hear what else, what pieces he wants to deal with. Valor is a boldness. Now here, this is good. A determination to face danger, a determination to battle. Do you get this?